Yeah, so apparently you might be some way to forming a government, Rolene. Is that in fact true?
Oh, guys. I think that it's much easier to navigate the traffic in Johannesburg at the moment than it is to form a government. So we did think that earlier this morning we were a step closer. We had rumors that Blue and White leader Benny Gantz said that, he's prepared to sit with Netanyahu. However, Netanyahu has an expiry date. But this has all gone pear-shaped. Earlier this afternoon, in fact, about an hour and a half ago, Prime Minister Netanyahu put forward his proposal to the Blue and White, which included sitting with him and his religious allies. And his reason was, we need to get the show on the road. We have a lot of security concerns that we have to deal with. And we have reports in over the last half an hour or so that Gantz has turned down Netanyahu's offer. He's calling for a more liberal unity government. We have Avigdor Lieberman saying that he's not prepared to enter into a government unless it just contains Yisrael Biteinu, Likud, Blue and White, which makes it very, very difficult for all of the other parties that hope to be represented. We've had Likud officials say that Benjamin Netanyahu's offer is a way of him trying to escape blame for the possibility of Israel maybe having to go to a third election. We have Likud saying that Blue and White are serial refusers. We have Benny Gantz saying that Netanyahu wants immunity, not unity. I mean, we have some rhyming going on here, guys, which is probably the most positive thing to come out of this whole deal. And we have Benny Gantz saying as well that he's waiting for the opportunity for Netanyahu to give the mandate back to Rivlin and the mandate to be handed to him so that he can try his hand at forming what he calls a more liberal, a more broad-based unity government.
Rolene, how do you explain the fact that there hasn't been a palace putsch within the Likud at this point?
Well, that's a very, very, very good question. And many are saying that it's high time the Prime Minister steps down. That's not going to happen. Or, something needs to happen that he moves aside new perspective, for new leadership. A couple of weeks ago, he announced the possibility of Likud primaries, which got everybody excited. We had Gideon Sa'ar, who is tipped to be his greatest competition, saying, I'm ready. And but Netanyahu then saying no, primaries would only be held next year. There's the issue of him making Likud members sign a declaration of fealty to him before the elections. And we have a situation where over the years there hasn't been any kind of endeavor to create succession, but rather that Netanyahu, who probably is the most politically savvy strategist in the world, because he does seem to be the Teflon King. We've had a situation where instead of creating succession or new leadership, he tends to cannibalize any kind of competition. And many Israelis are of the opinion that perhaps we need to think about a situation where we restrict the amount of terms a prime minister can serve, because it's not healthy for a democracy to have the same person in power for so long. And now Prime Minister Netanyahu is the longest serving Israeli prime minister in history. So all of these things are cause for concern. And with the issues with the Attorney General pushing for indictment, with his inability to form a coalition or to form a government, this also makes the Israeli electorate feel very, very Netanyahu wary.
Very, very interesting state of affairs. Talk to us about Pompeo meeting with Netanyahu to discuss the pullout from Syria.
Well, what was interesting is we ended yesterday by saying, by talking a little bit about the fact that, could Israel be the next ally that is, kind of comes at the expense of the America First policy. And U.S. Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo is in Turkey at the moment. He's trying to broker some kind of a ceasefire or threaten Turkey with very, very harsh sanctions from the United States. And I saw the images coming in from Vice President Mike Pence's meeting with Erdogan earlier today. If they, I tell you, I'm going to use a lovely Yiddish word. The two of them couldn't look more verkrimpt if they try.
Yes,
very, very, very unhappy looking yes. leaders. It's the only word I can use to describe.
No, you're right. You give that picture to a child and you say, write a story about the people in the picture, because it's just so obvious something is so wrong.
But the next stop that Secretary of State Pompeo will make is here to Israel to discuss the recent developments in Syria, the issue of Iran and Iran's continued destabilizing behavior within the region, and also to try and placate Israel, to try and say to Israel that America still has your back, because even though we have reiterated and reiterated very, very strongly that we do not need to rely on anybody else to defend ourselves, it is troubling that the United States could do this to a major ally, the Kurdish people, and to use the excuse that President Trump used, which was, well, they didn't help us at Normandy.
Wow, yeah, absolutely reason for concern. And then, yeah, the U.S. ambassador says the peace plan will not call for settlement evacuations. Really?
Well, if anyone has seen the Trump peace plan, no, seriously, if anybody's seen that, please let the rest of us know where it is, because we'd like to have a comprehensive look at it, please. But Ambassador Friedman, addressing a group yesterday and speaking to Israel National News, he said that according to the Trump peace plan, having looked at it, the issue of evacuating settlements within the West Bank is not part of the peace plan. And this actually makes a departure from previous U.S. administrations, who have reiterated quite strongly that settlements, or at least certain settlements, need to be evacuated or dismantled. You know, we seem to be getting bits and pieces, drips and drabs, and what I hope is not rumor about the Trump peace plan. What we actually haven't seen is the comprehensive plan. But the one successful proposal that we have had a more in-depth look at was the peace to prosperity that we discussed quite a bit earlier this year, which was the Manama conference in Bahrain, which looked to build a sustainable economy in the West Bank from the ground up.
Really, just terribly quickly, a heartbreaking story I read in the Times of Israel, I think yesterday, about a 14-year-old boy was in a sukkah on a beach, hit by lightning, apparently died due to injuries sustained.
He has sadly passed away. The family were on the beach. We had a freak storm the other day, a lot of lightning, and according to reports, they were touching metal on the beach when lightning struck, and the family, a few members of the family, sustained injuries. And it breaks our heart that for this young boy, it was fatal.
Rolene, that's where we leave it. Thank you as always. And Shabbat Shalom to you. Look forward to speaking to you next week on Wednesday.
Shabbat Shalom, guys.
Shabbat Shalom.
I'm going to have separation anxiety and Chag Sameach.
Have a drink, Rolene.
And on that note,
have a good one. God bless.
God bless.
We'll speak to you on Wednesday. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's Rolene Marks, our Israel correspondent here on the Overdrive.